Rayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 16. Grihat Pravrajito Dhirta Punyatirta Jalapluta Shucho Vivikta Asino Viti Vat Kalpitasane Grihat Pravrajito Dhirta Punyatirta Jalapluta Shucho Vivikta Asino Vidivat Kalpitasane Grihat from one's own home. Prabrajita, having gone out. Dira, self-controlled. Punya, pious. Tirta, sacred place. Jala apluta, fully washed. Shucha, cleansed. Vivikte, solitary. Asina, seated. Vitivat, according to regulations. Kalpita, having done. Asane, on a sitting place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place, duly sanctified. Translation responsibly. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place, duly sanctified. To prepare oneself for the better next life, one must get out of one's so-called home. The system of Varnashram Dharma, or Sanatan Dharma, prescribes retirement from family encumbrances as early as possible after one has passed 50 years of age. Modern civilization is based on family comforts, the highest standard of amenities, and therefore after retirement, everyone expects to live a very comfortable life in a well-furnished home, decorated with fine ladies and children, without any desire to get out of such a comfortable home. High government officers and ministers stick to their prized posts until death, and they neither dream nor desire to get out of homely comforts. Bound by such hallucinations, materialistic men prepare various plans for a still more comfortable life. But suddenly cruel death comes without mercy and takes away the great plan maker against his desire, forcing him to give up the present body for another body. Such a plan maker is thus forced to accept another body in one of 8,400,000 species of life, according to the fruits of the work he has performed. In the next life, Persons who are too much attached to family comforts are generally awarded lower species of life on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life, and thus all the energy of the human life is spoiled. In order to be saved from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attached to unreal things, one must take warning of death at the age of 50, if not earlier. The principle is that one should take it for granted that the death warning is there already, even prior to the attainment of 50 years of age, and thus at any stage of life one should prepare himself for a better next life. The system of the Sanatana Dharma institution is for a better next life, is so made that the follower is trained for the better next life without any chance that the human life will be spoiled. The holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purposes of retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Intelligent persons must go there at the end of life, and for that matter after 50 years of age, to live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachments. And as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home or by creating another home at the holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal, or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family, lost where I am again. There's a therefore, Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard to all sense desires, especially sex desires. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deer skin, and carpet. And thus, sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, as prescribed above. The whole process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. Omagyan timidandashya genamjana shalakaya chakshurumilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manu Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swapatantikam Vancha Kaupat Rubyascha Kripa Sandhu Yevacha Petitanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So as I said last week, this is one of my favourite sections of the Bhagavatam, the very beginning of the second canto, because there are so many powerful verses. The process of studying the Bhagavatam is called swajaya. Swa in Sanskrit means, it says swaha. Om. Yeah, om. Like that. Swaha. Now we do the jugya. Swaha. I'm offering this, which is mine. It's not really ours, but we're saying like that. When you're doing the oblation, you're offering the grains, or you're offering the ghee, or you offer the fruit into the sacrificial fire. You're saying, I'm giving you this. This is my own. Like that. So, swa. Swa means oneself. Like that. One's own. Oneself. Self. Like that. Swa. Jayana. Sixth chapter of Gita is called Jhana Yoga. Jhana means meditation or contemplation or self-study. So Jayana means Jayana. Jhana means we are studying the self. So when we study the Bhagavatam, we're meant to be studying ourself. That is the point. Swajayana. It means self-study. We're looking at ourselves. It's like looking into a mirror. In one respect, you're seeing where are you actually at. I look into the mirror, I see this is where I should be, and then when the reflection comes back, I see, well, I'm not quite there yet. So then how does that make you feel? Quite often we feel very... sometimes we lose enthusiasm in devotional service. And devotees have to guard against this. Be very careful. Because sometimes you think, how will I ever get there? How will I ever improve? I've got the same material desires that I had 20 years ago. I think about the same sense gratification that I thought about 20 years ago. Exactly the same. The mind doesn't change. It's an interesting point. You'll observe this over the years. You think about exactly the same things that you thought about 60 years ago. Same sense gratification. Exactly the same thoughts. You just go through it. It's called, Prahlad Maharaj says, chewing the chewed. Right? You've already chewed it thousands of times in your life, in your mind. You've already contemplated the same sense gratification. But then, even when you're an old man, you'll still think about it. Oh, when I was 20, I did this. Yeah, when I was 15, I did this. Like that. You'll still contemplate it. So, sometimes devotees become unenthusiastic. They think, how will I advance? How will I progress like that? But Rupa Goswami says that we have to develop and practice utsaha. Devotional service, if you want to progress in devotional service, you need enthusiasm. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to have hope, even when sometimes it feels like there is not so much hope. That is the nature of bhakti. It is a dichotomy. A dichotomy means a duality. On one sense, we feel like, how will I make advancement? On the other sense, we have to be very enthusiastic to make advancement. Sometimes we think like, I'll never get anywhere, but at the same time, you have to be very enthusiastic to achieve the goal. So this dichotomy, it actually takes place right up until the advanced stages of bhakti. When someone's very advanced in devotional service, Rupa Goswami mentions this, there are 9 qualities or features of bhava, bhakti. One is, the devotee will have great hope. He will think, yes, I will be successful because Krishna is my master. And he is Patita Pavana. Lord Chaitanya is the ocean of mercy. But simultaneously, the devotee thinks, he develops a great humility. When you become advanced, you become very humble. Much more humble than what we are now. We haven't really developed humility yet. The humility we have now is like, it's kind of like Dainya Abbas or something. It's kind of like a reflection or a shadow of humility. We act humble. You know, whenever the devotee's around, we say, privilege. It is not me, it is you. You are the advanced one. I am just the bottom. I am lower than the worm in the stool. So we don't really think like that. Right? It's not deep-seated. But when the devotee is advanced in Krishna consciousness, his dainya, his humility, becomes, you say, like synonymous with prema. Brihad Bhagavatam Ritet explains that prema and dainya are like they're synonymous or they're intertwined. You can't have one without the other. You can't have love for Krishna without complete humility. It's not possible. And one who is completely humble can have love for Krishna. You have to have both qualities. And you'll see in the Siddha Mahants, you'll see in the perfect devotees like Srila Prabhupada, you'll see both of them. He has perfect love for Krishna and he has absolute humility. All right, both are there simultaneously. So that means you are realized. This is the difference between jnana and vijnana. Jnana means knowledge. We all know we're supposed to be humble. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, we should develop humility. It says in Shikshastika, we should develop humility. It says in all of our teachings, we should develop humility. But vijnana means realizing that and actually acting upon it and actually imbibing it and actually becoming it. So we're meant to become actually genuinely humble like that. And if you're sincere, Krishna will help you become like that. He will make all the arrangements for you to become humble over the course of time. He will remove your false ego if you're sincere. If you're really trying hard to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will make the arrangements that your false ego is destroyed. Like that. It's hard to do it ourselves, but Krishna is expert in making it happen. Like so, in order to make advancement in devotional service, we have to develop utsaham, which means enthusiasm. We have to be enthusiastic. That is the way we advance. Also, we're meant to be patient, and also we're meant to be. What's the third quality? Yeah, confident or determined. You have to have these essential elements if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to be patient because it takes time. It doesn't happen quickly. Right? You have to be enthusiastic because without enthusiasm, you don't get enthusiasm. You don't get anywhere. And you have to have determination or confidence. So Rupa Goswami says this is integral. If you want to advance in your Krishna consciousness, you have to imbibe these qualities. So this is called self-study. We're reading the Bhagavatam. Why? Because we're meant to be analyzing ourselves. What am I like? How close am I to the actual goal? Or how far away am I from the actual goal? So it's a reflection. So we're meant to contemplate when we read these verses. Am I actually imbibing all of this? So therefore, it is said that we should study the Bhagavatam categorically. Categorically means systematically go through. And Prabhupada says that if you get through the first two cantos and you're still attached to illicit sex, you should go back to the start again. So it means practically we'd never get off the first two cantos. Very hard to release yourself from lust. Even old people, even when you're 60, 70, 80 years old, lust is still within the heart. What was the name of that king and the sage? Was it Chanakya? Akbar and Birbal. Yeah. So Birbal was saying to Akbar, sex desire doesn't go away just when you get old. And Akbar goes, yes, it does. When you get old, sex desire just begins to disappear. It does to an extent, but it doesn't just disappear automatically. But he was saying, yeah, it just disappears. Birbal said, no, it doesn't just disappear. You have to cleanse it. You have to remove it like that. So Birbal said to Akbar, he said, come with me, right? Bring your daughter, the princess. She was beautiful. So they took the princess and Akbar to a dying man. And when they walked in, just before they walked into the room, Birbal turned around to Akbar. He said, now you watch him very carefully when you walk into the room and see what he does. So they walked into the room. This is Akbar. Akbar's ruling India. It's like Kevin Rudd coming to our deathbed. Okay, that's not a very good example. Someone coming actually to our deathbed. It's like our Guru Maharaj or someone important coming to our deathbed. So then Akbar walks in. The Emperor of India walks in. But the old man, he sees Akbar. He thinks, Akbar, and then he sees his daughter. And he thinks, wow, she's beautiful. And then his eyes are on the daughter like that. So Birbal turns around to Akbar and says, see, I told you. It doesn't just disappear. You have to work at it. This is called Swajaya. Swajaya means we have to study ourselves very carefully. When you read the Bhagavatam. So here, this verse is it's a wonderful verse, as so many of the verses are in this section of the Bhagavatam. It says that one should leave home. This is our philosophy. One should leave home at the age of 50. Right? What does it mean? It means that one should develop detachment, virakti, or vairagya. A devotee should be developing detachment. That is the whole point. It's not the whole point, but it's an integral point of our entire practice of devotional service, of spiritual life. If you are practicing devotional service, but you're not developing detachment, something is wrong. Right? It means that you're not properly advancing in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says in the 30th chapter of the Krishna book, he says, how do we ascertain or work out if we're advancing or not in Krishna consciousness? He says, then you look at your material desires. Right? Is my attachment to Krishna becoming more, and are my material desires becoming less? Right? It's like a scale, tulya. In Sanskrit, we have scales, tula, like that. So it means balance, tula, means like balance. So you have to see, you're putting more Krishna on one side, that means that the material desires should be being taken off and should be going more in one favor. It means Krishna should be the main thing. So you have to see over time, right? Are your material desires becoming less? Are you becoming less attached to this world? Right? This is integral to your bhakti. Right? You have to constantly be looking at yourself year after year after year as a devotee and see, am I progressing? Am I getting closer to the goal? And you have to work hard if you're not. Right? If you see that you're not progressing rapidly, it's okay to progress slowly as well, that's good, as long as we're progressing. But life is short, right? Especially in Kali Yuga, we don't have a lot of time. It's not Satya Yuga. You know, Satya Yuga, if we're giving Bhagavatam class in Satya Yuga, we say, well, we've got another 10,000 years to go. So you should get serious. We can't say that anymore, right? We can only say we've got another 40, 50, 60 years to go, if that. Right? So we have to get serious. Kali Yuga means, right, get serious, do it quickly. You can make advancement rapidly in Kali Yuga. Year by year, you can make like quantum leaps towards Krishna. You can't do that in other ages so easily. Right? It's hard to do it. But in Kali Yuga, everything can be sped up or accelerated very quickly. You can get to Krishna very quickly in Kali Yuga by the merciful process of Harinama Sankirtan. Prabhupada says, just by dancing in front of Gaur Nithai with your arms upraised, you can achieve love of God. What do we do before the class? We had kirtan. Right? We can achieve love of God just by doing that. That's how powerful this process is. In half an hour, you can achieve love of God. If you chant properly. If you're absorbed in the kirtan. If you have utsaha or enthusiasm for the kirtan, then you will advance very quickly. You will achieve love of Krishna. That is the process. So, it is being said here that we should leave home. Should leave home means we should become detached. Then we can leave home if we need to. Some will leave home, some will not leave home. But the point is, when you get to 50, right, you have to say, okay, that's it, I have to get really serious now. And as Prabhupada says in the purport, you don't have to wait till 50. You can join the temple when you're 19 and you can say, okay, I'm going to get really serious now. And you can just be serious your whole life. Now, I've seen many devotees who join the ashram when they're 18 or 19 or 20 and they just become very serious and that's it. Now I know them after 20 years or 30 years and they're advanced devotees. Because they got serious. They took advantage of the opportunity. Don't waste time. Srila Prabhupada always says this. You know, when you hear there's a kirtan tape by Krishna Prem Prabhu, Krishna Vision 3, right? And then the kirtan's going on, they're chanting the Maha Mantra, and then he keeps putting Prabhupada into the kirtan. Prabhupada keeps saying, don't waste time. Right, and then a couple of minutes later, Prabhupada says, don't waste time. Very powerful. When Prabhupada says it, it's very powerful. Don't waste time. But what is Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book called? What's his book called? He wrote a biography about Prabhupada. What's it called? What is the difficulty? When Prabhupada says it, what is the difficulty? Then you look at Prabhupada and you say, there is no difficulty. When someone else says it, then like that. But when Prabhupada says, what is the difficulty? Devotees come and they say, oh Prabhu, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem. I've got so many problems. I am problem Davy Duzzy. Speak to the devotee sometimes. Oh, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem. No, devotees, yeah. You speak to the devotees. I have this problem, I have that problem, I have that problem. Prabhupada says, what is the difficulty? Well, what is the difficulty? What is your problem? Your problem lives in between your two ears. That is your problem. You listen to your mind. It's like a monkey on our back. A monkey sitting here. Imagine a monkey sitting there all day. Right? What do? You get a stick and you go, get off. Right? That's what you have to do with your mind. Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladev Vijayabhushan, one of them, in the commentary on the Gita, they say that you have to use the danda on your mind. Right? With the enemy, when you're dealing with the enemy, right? Sam, Bade, what is the other one? Dan. Sam, Bade, Dan. He says, with the enemies, you do Sam, Bade, Dan. And okay, we'll do some politics or some diplomacy. Then don't waste time with the mind like that. Don't spend time with the mind. Oh, you know, Prabhu will just do this and we'll do this. It doesn't work. He said, when you deal with the mind, you go straight to Dan. Just get a stick and just go, whack. What did you say? Bang. Sorry, did you say something? Whack. Right. And just smash it. Right? Oh, you want to say something again, did you? What was that? Bang. Okay. Right. And just hit it. Right? And get rid of it. Right? Don't waste time. Prabhupada says, do not waste time. Don't. You spend half your life in your mind. Half your life is just living in between here. Right, you see devotees sometimes chanting their japa. Or sometimes you even Bhagavatam class and devotees are like that. What is going on? Right? Get into your mind, right, and smash it. Just get it and hit it. Right. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says 100 times in the morning and then 100 times at night. That's our sadhana. Get onto your mind. Right? Stop wasting your time. You haven't got time. What's your problem? Prabhupada says, what is the difficulty? Do not waste time. These are sutras. And Prabhupada says something that is a sutra. Sutra means the whole spiritual world is in that, in those words. What is the difficulty? Is there difficulty? There's no difficulty. Prabhupada said, we're just not sincere. That is the difficulty. Prabhupada said, he said, you're just not sincere. Devotees, one time someone asked, a guest, I said, why is Maya so powerful? Something to that effect. Prabhupada said, you are not sincere. That's the point. Sometimes we feel like, oh, Maya is so powerful. Yes, Maya is powerful, but we're not sincere. If we're sincere, Maya is insignificant. But we are not sincere, that is the point. What is the difficulty? And Prabhupada says, do not waste time. Right? The whole spiritual world is in that instruction. The spiritual world, they don't waste time. Right? Imagine being in the spiritual world and having some spaced out bhakta, you know, down the back of the kunj, you know. Oh, Prabhu, you know, I didn't get enough for breakfast today. I can't go to Crossroads. So, it is saying here, the Bhagavatam is saying, we should be becoming detached. Natural detachment should be awakening in our consciousness and our heart. That's how we know we're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Right? We know we're becoming advanced because we're detached. We're actually repulsed by the material energy. We don't want to be a part of it. Right? It's just a... it's a mess, basically. The whole thing's a mess. I went to my mother's place on Sunday night to visit her, and we were watching 60 Minutes, and one of those shows tells about what's going on in the world. They have some very good programs, some very good reports. So they're speaking about that man from Australia who got caught up in that whole WikiPedia situation. He was exposing the entire US government, cracked into their computers, pulled out all the information about the war in Iraq, and then just put it all over the internet. Right, and they were interviewing him. He's living in an embassy in Ecuador. They've got it surrounded by police 24 hours a day. He can't even get out. He's going to live there probably for... He's already been there for 3 years or something. He can't even get out of the building. Like, he's stuck as they've got him like that. So he was saying, they said, why did you do this? And he said, because look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing. The world's terrible. He said, it's horrible. He's just exposing it. He said, this is the truth. Why are they fighting the truth? So the world is a big mess. So we should become detached from this world. We should become repulsed by this world because it's repulsive. It's terrible. Kali Yuga is horrible. But the Bhagavatam says it's the best age. Kale dosha. Dosha means faults. Niti means an ocean. If we want to give a class about the faults in Kali Yuga, you can just speak 18,000 verses just on the faults of Kali Yuga. There's so many faults there, it's unlimited. Kale dosha niti rajan asti heko eka. But there's one good thing, right? Krishna kirtan. Just chant the holy names of Krishna. And then everything... And actually, Jiva Goswami says Kali Yuga is the best age. Why is it the best? Because right? Your mind is so harassed, you've really got to chant seriously. Jiva Goswami said this age is good for chanting. Sometimes you just pick up your beads and just chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. You've really got a chance to sit in Kali Yuga, to get over the harassment that takes place in your mind. So Kali Yuga is the perfect age. It's the best. It's actually worshipped by the demigods. And it says that the demigods are taking birth in the Sankirtan movement to take advantage of this age. Who are those demigods? I'm looking at them. These are all the devatas. You've all descended to take advantage. But now, even though you've descended to take advantage, some of you are not taking advantage. Some of you demigods are getting caught up on your mind too much. Maya is tricky. We're not out of the material energy yet. Srila Prabhupada said one time, he said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they are not fearful enough of Maya. We're not serious enough. Maya is tricky. And she will keep pulling us back and pulling us back and pulling us back. Just like with Bharat Maharaj, you look in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, right, he was almost at prema. Means he was advanced, more advanced than what we may even achieve in this life. But even though he was so advanced, Maya got him right at the last minute. Just grabbed him in the form of a little doe, little baby deer. Right? So beautiful. Right? So attractive. So innocent. Right? So much in need of protection. But she got him. Right? Even when he was doing his puja, he was worshipping his Shalagram Shila, but then he'd keep walking around, where's the deer? And then he'd be doing, and then he'd, sometimes he couldn't see the deer, he'd get up and leave the Shalagram and go and look for the deer. And then, oh, there's the deer. And then he'd go back and do it. So he lost his samadhi. He lost his focus. So Maya, she will keep going. She will keep trying to get us. Basically, she's got us. We're not even out. Srila Prabhupada's walking down the Juhu beach and Giriraj Maharaj was next to him. And Giriraj Maharaj, I think he's a brahmachari then, but And Giriraj Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada, he said, "I'm sorry, Prabhupada, sometimes I get in Maya." And Prabhupada got his cane and put it into the sand. And he said, "You are always in Maya." And then he just kept walking. And Giriraj Maharaj is, you know, when Prabhupada says these things, it's different. You know, imagine being with Prabhupada and he looks at you and he says, "You are always in Maya." Puts his cane into the sand. And then he walks off. And Giriraj Maharaj was so struck, he just offered his obeisances on the beach. Because his guru had chastised him. We're always in Maya. It's not even really a question of us overcoming Maya. We just live in Maya all day. Maya means that which is not. We're an illusion. We think we are the body, right? And every time a nice girl walks past, we're like, we're just in Maya all the time, basically. Not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. But Lord Chaitanya is merciful. Lord Nityananda is merciful. And they are lifting us up. So it says here that one should leave home and practice self-control. So we should be full of self-control. What is the Sanskrit for self-control in this verse? Dhira. It's also there in the Gita, right? The most famous verse practically in the Gita. Dhira stattra namuyati. Dhira. Dhira means sober or self-controlled. Right? You expect a devotee is dhira. Actually, if you look at the 24 qualities of a devotee, 26 qualities of a devotee is self-controlled. He is sober. He is deep. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is gambhira. Gambhira means deep. We should be sober. We should not be bewildered all the time by Maya. Not when you go down to the city to distribute books or distribute prasad and all like that, and then suddenly you're just, you know, overwhelmed by Maya. No, we should be dhira. Dhira means we should be sober. We should see it for what it is. We should see it as it is. It's just Maya. It's just illusion. It's a waste of time. Don't get bewildered. Maya is expert at bewildering us. She bewilders us all the time. Melbourne's a very good place to make spiritual advancement, actually. The weather's not perfect. And it's a good place. You go to the places where the weather's more perfect and, you know, life is more opulent and like that. You see, it's harder to get really focused and serious. Melbourne's actually a good place. Kali Yuga is the best age. And Melbourne is the best place. That's my conclusion. It is very good. It's very good. This temple is very powerful. Because we have Radha Vallabha. We have the most beautiful deities in the entire universe are here. Right here. Installed by Prabhupada himself. And Gaur Nittai, the biggest solid caste deities in the world, except for Mayapur, except for the Panchatattva. They are now the biggest. And Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra, the most beautiful Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra I have ever seen. Anyway, most beautiful. These deities are exceptional. We are the most fortunate. Who are the most fortunate living entities in the universe? They're sitting in this room. There's no one more. No one is more fortunate. No one. Either. So we should take advantage. So then it says, we should live in a sacred place. So are we living in a sacred place? Does it get more sacred than this? The only place more sacred is Mayapur or Vrindavan or Puri. That's the only place that's more sacred. You can't compare with those places. Because that is the holy land. The power there is beyond estimation. Like that. But these places, this place, besides Mayapur and Vrindavan and Puri, is the most powerful place I've ever been. Where we are right now. Like that. So we should stay in a sacred place. That's what it says here. And we should bathe regularly. Hands up if you took bath this morning. You won't put your hand up if you didn't. Bathe regularly. So bathing means, as it says here, solcha. sutra. We have to bathe regularly. Means we have to be suci all the time. Devotees are suci. Brahmanas are suci. Suci means pure. Externally and internally. Right? If you want to live in a place like this, you have to be externally clean and internally clean all the time. As much as possible. It's an offense to worship the deities if you're not clean. That's why we did that seminar on cleanliness a couple of months ago. Right? It's extremely important. When Prabhupada emphasized deity worship, he emphasized two things: punctuality and cleanliness. You must be clean. Right? And you must understand what cleanliness is. Because when you clean your gross body, it also purifies your subtle body. Right? And it says in the Ayurveda that at the end of your bath, or actually it says in the Ayurveda, you should take a cool bath. But here, because we live in Melbourne, we can't have a... I mean, some devotees can, but I have a warm shower. But at the end, turn off the cold tap. Sorry, the warm tap. The hot tap. And just run the cold tap for 10 seconds or something like that. And then that invigorates the subtle body. Right? That brings the subtle body to life. Nothing like having cold water thrown on you at 4 o'clock in the morning. If you really want to get back into your subtle body. And suddenly, okay, now I can chant. Like that. So, we should bathe regularly. Keep ourselves pure, right, externally. Right. And then internally, Srila Prabhupada says, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, right, we become internally pure by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But you have to chant it attentively. That's our internal bath. Right? Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then purify the subtle body. Right? And then you can remember. And then you can stay in a holy place. Then you can get the benefit from the holy place. If you're in the holy place but you're not pure, you can't get the benefit. That's why you have to learn purity. That's why it says here, bathe regularly. And then sit down in a lonely place and become duly sanctified. So, lonely place means a devotee, he will go into a nirjan bhajan. Means when he becomes advanced and later in life, he will go into a situation where there are not other devotees around. Right? But we have to be advanced to do this. Most of us are not so advanced yet. That means when we chant our japa in the morning, we should chant with the other devotees. Right? The men chant here in this sacred mandala, right? This sacred space. And the Mataji's chant up there. I was chanting my rounds yesterday afternoon. I hadn't been in Prabhupada's room for a month or two. And it's so powerful up there. Yeah, such an opportunity, especially for the ladies every morning. You can go up there together and chant Maha Mantra together with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's sitting there. The atmosphere in that room is incredible. It's powerful. It's overwhelming. If you stay awake, of course. Very helpful. To stay awake. So you should chant together. When you're advanced, you can chant by yourself. Right? But when you're a less advanced devotee, you need to chant with the other devotees. But then nirjan bhajan, that's for someone who's an advanced devotee. He'll just go away from everything, everyone, and he'll just chant the holy name. But we don't do that in the beginning stages of bhakti. So, the Bhagavatam is giving us this instruction, right? Because Parikshit Maharaj, just says a couple of verses ago, the sages say to him, you've only got 7 days to live. Right? How many days do we have to live? We don't know, so we have to be serious. You have to be serious in Krishna consciousness. Make sure the ship is on track. Make sure we're going to the destination every day. Make sure every day we get a little bit closer to Krishna. Now, Prabhupada was in Mayapur. He looked out over the balcony and one of the Matajis, one of his female disciples, was picking flowers. And Prabhupada said to Hari Saurabhu, he said, every flower that she picks, she gets one step closer to Krishna. Like that. So as long as we're getting closer to Krishna every day, we should see. So they say, the sages say, you only have 7 days to live. Become serious, and then they give him this advice. leave home, practice self-control, sit in the holy place, be pure, like that. So that's what he's doing on the bank of the Jamuna, on the bank of the Ganges. So he's showing us the perfect example of how to finish our life in this material world. So we'll stop here. See if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed. Vrindavan is special though.
Yeah.
This is Vrindavan, if we can get to that full level like that. Definitely in my experience, it's the most powerful place I've ever been outside of Vrindavan. You know, and when I become advanced, then I'll see them as non-different. It's the most powerful place I've ever been besides Vrindavan, but Vrindavan's Vrindavan. Something special about Vrindavan. Because Krishna's there. Krishna's here as well. But in Vrindavan, it's just something about Vrindavan and Mayapur. Any other question? Comment?
Just a comment, Guru. This deep seriousness which Shiva Parikshit Maharaj actually developed in this last stage of 7 days. I mean, this level of seriousness one cannot achieve otherwise. Like, unless one is sure that you are going to die, this kind of seriousness and attention to getting out of the daily unbroken home, I mean, it's very hard to achieve.
We should be serious, and we are serious. We're serious devotees. We're doing our best. But then suddenly, if we go to get a checkup at the doctor, and the doctor says there's something wrong, then we become a lot more serious very quickly. So the point is, we should be serious. And then when we get the message, right, then we'll be in a position that we can take advantage. And then we can, Indrajitna Swami calls it the overtaking lane. When you get the death notice, it's like you go into the overtaking lane and you go like that. So maybe we'll get that, or maybe we'll just have to wait it out until it happens. But it's coming. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki?